Amen. We welcome you, brother. Give him a warm welcome.
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God a shout of praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's seek His face. Lord God Almighty, ruler of the universe, of the church, and in our hearts, we honor You. We worship You, we adore You, we open our hearts to receive from You Your generous Spirit poured out upon our lives to fill, to heal, to change, to promote, to increase, to enlarge. God, come and touch everyone from the least to the greatest, the youngest to the oldest, the weak and the strong. We pray in Jesus' name, and the saints of God said, let's give Him another shout of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. As always, Pastor Tom, what a great privilege to be with you. Dr. Donna, so good to see you again. And of course, the many pastors that I am privileged to be connected with for a number of years now, I think 6 or 7 years. And they've already been honored and asked to stand, but I would like them just to come stand with me for a moment. All the pastors, please, just come join me for a moment. As a representation of this region, the spiritual eldership of a number of churches and ministries, it's time for us to make a stand to take this region back for God. I'm glad that met with such an enthusiastic response. The gates of hell will not prevail. This region belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I want to prophesy to these churches, this is a time for some bold steps. We're not just dealing with the subject of boldness for the sake of a nice catchphrase, but this is a time to take bold steps, to take this region back. The gates of hell will not prevail. His church is successful, fruitful, powerful, amen, indestructible. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. As you, as men and women of God, as leaders, take bold steps with vision, passion, and strategy, I believe that there is going to be an acceleration in your ministries for growth and fruitfulness. The Bible says, I will do a new thing. We've heard so many teachings on I will do a new thing, but I'm going to tell you something. The new thing is from the position of the wilderness. Go read it. It's the new thing is always launched under attack. Amen. And I know your hearts and lives in the Spirit. You've all been under attack. Yeah. Your lives, your families, your ministries. But God is about to do a new thing. This nation belongs to God. Yeah. Atlantic City belongs to God. We will not fail. God's got some very passionate, God-hungry men and women in this house, and some very passionate visionary leaders in this house. And we're going to make a stand for this region tonight in prayer. And as Pastor Tom says, I land on Thursday at 1 o'clock in Tampa. I'll have a quick meal with the family, and then they fly out, and I'm left alone for the night. And then Friday morning, 5 o'clock, I'm back at the airport again to fly to Barranquilla, Colombia, where I'm going for 50,000 souls. But what is more important than just the 50,000 souls, I'm going to be working with 250 to 500 pastors, calling them to the same thing that we've got going here, unity, joining our forces together for something bigger than our local churches for the region. Because we pray it,
thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's the building of the church or the local churches, then there's the building of the church, and then there's the advance of the kingdom. We are standing here as representatives of the church, the local, the church, the wider expression, but also of the kingdom. It's time for us to advance the kingdom. Seek first His rule in this region. As the church makes a stand, His kingdom comes into this place. Can you say amen? Would you stand with us as we, the collective leadership, pray for Egg Harbor Township and for Atlantic City and for Atlantic County and for Vintore and what else? Margate, what are the other regions? Yep, we need to stand for all these regions. Many of you are scattered and you've traveled from different places. This region must come under the fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your family, your friends, strangers must come under the outpouring of God in this region. We've got to take this region back. It's got to be done with faith, with vision, with passion, and with an aggression. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men. We need a violence of vision, a violence of faith, a violence to engage against the gates of hell and take the souls that belong in the kingdom. Lord God, thank You for these pastors and leaders, prophets, apostles, bishops, men and women of faith, and thank You for every believer in this house. God, each one represents Your love, Your light, Your power to these communities. We have not just been saved to avoid hell, but on earth, we are Your ambassadors, carriers of Your word and of Your Spirit and of Your life and of Your love and of Your compassion and of Your mercy to this generation. And God, we stand before You on behalf of this entire region, and we ask You, O God, again, as we have prayed, Your kingdom come to this region. Your will be done. God, build Your church. Grow Your church. The lost to be saved, the saved to be discipled, to be raised, to be empowered, to be mobilized, both to this region, to the nation, and to the nations of the world. God, from this place, let Your light be very bright, I pray, O God. God, we know the many struggles that are taking place here economically. Jobs that have been lost, the things that are taking place in government, local and regional and state level, oh God, as people are contending just to survive in this area. God, I pray that You would prosper the saints. That God, You would cause the businesses represented here to flourish in spite of the economic climate. That You would give fresh initiatives and success to business people, oh God. They have tithed, they have given, they have been faithful. Prosper them, oh God, as a testimony of Your goodness in this region. God, You said that the righteous will never be forsaken, their children will never beg for bread. God, I pray that the church of this region would prosper financially, economically, in health, in their families, in their education, in their careers, oh God, I pray in Jesus' holy name. Now would you with me just stretch out your hands to these pastors and leaders and pray in the Spirit for them for a few moments. Just lift your voices with one accord and pray for them to be enriched, empowered with vision, with passion, with infusion of God life, re-energized in the ministry in Jesus' name. Pray a hedge of protection around their lives. Pray for their families.
Pray for their loved ones. Pray for their health. Pray for their financial prosperity and success. God, prosper these saints. Prosper these ministries. That God, every church would be debt free. Every life would be debt free. That they would prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. Increase them, O God. Expand them. Add to their churches daily, I pray. Your signs, wonders, miracles to take place, O God, as a testimony to this region of your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, let a greater sense of unity be forged in their lives, with their members, with their elders, with their leadership teams, and then as churches and movements, God, strengthen the unity, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's all give God a great shout of praise. Hallelujah! 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 Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! God bless you, men and women of God. Mwah. Love you all, my dear friends. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Nahum. Great. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. I want to take a few minutes to deal with the subject of boldness. And specifically tonight, I want to deal with bold in the Spirit. I've been here since Saturday night. On Saturday night at the Love Center, I dealt with bold faith. How many of you know that it's going to take faith to move mountains and change the spiritual climatic conditions of a region? Great faith impresses Jesus. He celebrates great faith. There's been so much accusation against teachings of faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need not just to have great faith, we need to have bold faith, to step out of the boat and get into realms that we have never walked in before, to be able to stand in the storms of life with a sense of courage, with a sense of inner strength that the world doesn't know, a peace that the world doesn't know. We face these things in faith. Faith overcomes the world. Faith overcomes every challenge, every weapon forged against you. When you stand in faith, it cannot penetrate. It cannot bring you down. Hallelujah. On Sunday morning, I dealt with bold access into the immediate presence of God. How many of you know that you can approach God with boldness, with confidence? You can draw near. And you can receive or obtain help and mercy in a time of need. Many Christians struggle in their approach to God. They're not bold. Now listen, there's a difference between arrogance, strutting in like a spoiled, precocious brat, but you can come in with humility, with meekness, with appreciation, with celebration, but you can come in with boldness because you are sons of God. You have access without guilt, without shame, without inferiority, without a sense of nakedness. You come in as the righteousness of God, and all the resource of heaven is at our disposal as sons. Hallelujah. He does not withhold. He is the giver of good gifts to those who love Him, who seek Him, who draw near to Him. There is more than enough for your ministry, for your life, than you would ever. You cannot exhaust what God has got available for you. But you need to have bold access into the presence of a thrice holy God. We on Sunday night, I dealt with the subject of bold prayers. Elijah was very bold when he prayed for the weather to change. But he could influence a nation through his prayer life. And the Bible says that we have a nature, and Elijah has a nature just like us. In other words, as a man, he approached God with bold prayers, and God changed the climate of a nation. And I believe if ever we needed that in America is right now. We need people to stop just praying for your personal little blessings. We need to stand in the gap for this nation. This nation is in a precarious place. And the White House does not determine the future of this nation. God's house determines the future of this nation. And then last night I dealt with the subject of bold in our witness. Because we need to understand that as the saints of God, we are ambassadors, carriers of this great message of eternal life. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are called to preach the gospel. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without bold preachers? The devil wants to mute the gospel. He wants to silence the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Our morality will not win this nation. Our programs will not win this nation. The gospel will win this nation. The gospel must be preached in every city, town, neighborhood, to every single soul. We must have a passion for the lost. The Bible says we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. We need to have a passion for this message of eternal life. Amen. I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 3 and from verses 8 to 16 and just show you a few thoughts here, and then from there I'll go into bold in the Spirit. To me, this is the Apostle Paul writing, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. Well, I want you to see here that Paul makes a statement that is not pseudo-humility, it is genuine. He says, he's the least of all the saints. And notice his humility. Humility is the foundation for authority and boldness. The measure of your humility must be equal to the measure of your authority. If you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will promote and exalt your life. But it takes a humility to operate in boldness. If we don't operate from the place of humility, then it could be misunderstood to be controlling, manipulating, and arrogant. But it is from the place of humility that we best handle the authority of God's power. Can you say amen? Amen. So Paul was very bold in the Spirit. He was very bold in the gospel. He was very bold in his office as an apostle, both to the Gentile nations as well as to the Jewish people. But he was coming from the position of humility. Now, Paul would boast and say that he was the chiefest among all sinners, but the truth is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we understand the great price that Jesus has placed upon our lives, that he would take our place and die for us and settle the debt that we could not pay, then great will be our appreciation of this work of redemption. And that becomes the basis of our humility. It is because we recognize where we have come from. We don't stand as the judge over anyone. We stand as a witness, not as a judge. Because we know if it wasn't for the grace of God, as the old saying would go, there go I. It is grace that has saved us and not we ourselves. And therefore, if we have any boast, it is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we've accomplished anything, it's by the grace of God. It is in many ways an agreement, it's a partnership with our lives and God, but it is all by grace. We are gifted by grace, we are sustained by grace, we are kept by grace. And then we get into agreement and we passionately work alongside him. And then the glory is to him. He says, he goes on and he says, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Notice how bold Paul was in the gospel. And of course, that is an essential part of this message of boldness. We must be bold in the gospel. If ever there was a time for us to turn up the passion to proclaim the gospel, it is now. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without bold preachers? Because it's like everything is against us. This politically correct generation doesn't want to hear the gospel. It's going to take men and women that have been made bold in the Spirit to be able to make a stand. You know, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, you shall receive power when that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You could almost say the word power there, dunamis, you shall receive boldness. Because up to that point, all the disciples had fled and dissipated until the resurrection of Jesus. They were under attack and they backed away. But that single event changed them to be bold. And you see that at the gate called Beautiful, the religious leaders recognizing the boldness in Peter and John. Why were they bold? Because they had been with Jesus. When you are with Jesus, then Jesus' boldness gets on you.
That's right.
And notice, he was secure. He was confident, not self-confident. He was confident because he knew who he was. He knew what he had been given. He knew what he was entrusted to accomplish. And he could move in boldness, whether he was speaking to the religious leaders or with children or with the diseased, with the dying, with the bound. He knew how to handle himself in boldness. Boldness would take him into the temple to drive out the zeal for thy house, but that zeal was connected to boldness, would take him into that place to make a stand. With boldness, he could embrace the cross, the pain, the agony. The Spirit of God will make you bold to preach the gospel. And then to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That's quite a mouthful, and I wish I could elaborate on the one new man, both the Jewish people and the Gentiles connected in this great single work of redemption. But beyond this joint salvation to both the Jewish people and to the Gentile nations is another phrase in here, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers. And I like to call that bold in spiritual conflict. Every time we preach, every time we prophesy, every time we gather, every time we celebrate what Jesus has done for us, we are declaring into the spirit realm the wisdom of God to principalities and powers. We are actually enforcing God's kingdom into those realms. We have to be bold in that spiritual dimension. It is the authority of God that is upon the church to make the stand in the face of hostility from these wicked forces that rule in those regions. And I think if the church would get a revelation of the power and the authority in our corporate gathering as we prophesy, as we preach, as we worship, what that does in the heavenlies, we would have a greater participation in the church. But we fail to see that realm. We see it as a earthly realm rather than the impact into the heavenly realm. So we must be bold in spiritual conflict against these weapons. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. That is, both as individuals, but collectively we stand as an army against those forces, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. We make our stand together. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000, and that's how we rule and we change the spiritual climate of a region as the collective force, as the church. You can wage a warfare single as a believer. You carry the authority. Some people say you shouldn't take on something bigger than yourself. Jesus in you is greater than Satan himself. Don't allow anyone to intimidate you that you cannot make a stand. The greater one lives in you. When you say the name of Jesus, if you've been saved 1 week, the name of Jesus out of your mouth is no different to a saint who has served God for 50 years. Your authority is not based on your maturity. It is based on your identity in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we can wage this warfare with confidence as individuals in your walk with God as you're driving down the road. You can be taking authority. But there is a power as the church collective that we should exercise into this realm. And then it goes on and says, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Bold access to God. Bold in the gospel. Bold and yet humble. Bold in spiritual warfare. Bold access to God. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you. Bold in our suffering. We need to understand that there are many Christians right now that are suffering. Even in this nation, China, North Korea, the Muslim nations, in India, in Pakistan, the church is under tremendous persecution. Malaysia, Philippines, there are many regions where it is actually illegal to preach the gospel. It's illegal to gather. The church is suffering. More people are dying for their faith right now than in the days of Peter, James, and John. You understand? There is great suffering in the earth. But there's even suffering in America. There are laws that are being turned against the church. It's like the authorities are wanting to stop the church from being a voice of morality to this nation, and they call it hate speech. As long as you agree with every agenda, you know, then your religion is acceptable. But I notice that no one is taking on the Muslims who espouse violence in the mosques. That's not hate speech, but it's all against the church. Which tells me we need to get our act together with the coming elections. Because we need a DOJ that is not corrupt. We need a legal system that will make a stand for righteousness. I'm telling you now, we are losing ground in this country. There is a suffering that the church... You try get property as the church in this nation. You'll find the EPA is against the development of the church. You'll find that there are laws and regulations, little bugs and insects that will prohibit land being acquired and turned into churches. Legal battles are having to be fought to get land in this nation. And go to England, it's even worse. Go to Canada, it's even worse. But it's getting bad here as well. There is a suffering. All who live godly will suffer persecution. If you never face any resistance, any form of mockery, any form of assault or violence to your reputation, you must be living a pretty carnal life. I would rather that we live at peace with our enemies. But the truth is, he suffered and he said, we will suffer also. But we can be bold in the face of persecution. When I watch those people having their heads cut off by ISIS believers, these are our brothers and sisters, notice the calm in their lives. God will give you a peace in the face of hostility, but also a boldness in the face of your enemies. We're sharing last night in India, we've been working in an area, Maharashtra, where it's illegal to preach. Pastor Dave has been there in that region. A woman came into church beaten by her husband. We have led over 400 souls since you were there. And the churches that you helped design are baptizing new members all the time. Things are happening in those places. But those 400 souls, like if it was anywhere else in the world, it would be 250,000. Because when they embrace the cross, they embrace persecution and suffering. This woman came to church beaten, her daughters beaten, but her husband forbidding them to go to church. But they made a stand. They went to church. He followed, sat outside, feeling sorry for himself. And as they prayed, and they prayed for him, he gave his heart to the Lord. Just tremendous suffering all around us. We try and get land, and the people come and they say, if you build a church here, we're going to burn it down. If you gather here, we'll kill you. You know, it's very difficult to make a stand, but there is a boldness that must get on the saints where we have to take these regions from these false religions and idols that control those realms. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but it takes bold Christians in the face of hostility to make a stand in those places. We need to have it here as well in the United States of America. He says, bold in suffering, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was bold in prayer, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. God-given boldness. Here it is. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might or with boldness through his Spirit in the inner man. In Psalm 138, verse 3, it says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Two things. Number one, he cried out and God answered. Every time you cry out, God will answer. The ear of God is inclined to the cry of the righteous. If you will cry out to God, it says, in the day when I cried out, today is a good day to cry out for a Holy Spirit boldness. You answered me. The God who answered for this psalmist is the God who will answer for you. And made me bold. Not bald, bold. It's just my accent. And made me bold with strength in my soul. Who needs a strength in their soul? You've been facing situations. There is a strength. There is a boldness that is accessible to your life. If you will cry out to God, even while I'm preaching, extend your spirit. Start to press in and get the God download. You don't have to wait to the end for hands to be laid upon you. The boldness can come by the Spirit of God as the word is being preached. There is a Holy Spirit download for your life. Who needs a boldness tonight? I want you to raise your hand quickly. Start to press right now. God, pour out your Spirit upon me. Boldness in my inner man, in my soul, in my spirit, in my mind. God, a confidence, a God confidence, a God authority, a God ability in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just cry out to God. Lift your voice to him. In the day that I cried out, begin to cry out to God. Lift your voice to Him. Rebora, la mamande. I cry out to you, O God, a boldness, a strength, a power, a download in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Boldness to be downloaded into our souls, oh God. A God confidence, a God courage for witness, for the flow in the Spirit, spiritual warfare, for the anointing, in faith, for prayer, in hostility. God, fill your saints with boldness, I pray, in Jesus' name. The bold Christian is the passionate Christian. Without boldness, it's very hard to be passionate, because passion is always visible, and it takes boldness to walk in that passion. Bold Christians are abandoned. They have yielded their lives to the flow of the Spirit. If you lack boldness, it's very difficult to prophesy. It's very difficult to pray publicly. It's very difficult to witness, to share the gospel. Do you understand? To operate in the gifts of the Spirit, in the dimensions of God, you have to be abandoned. You have to, as it were, decrease that He might increase. That takes a boldness. You have to be open for that. You've got to be abandoned for that. Abandoned Christians are bold Christians. People who are going to walk in obedience to the Word of God and to the will of God will have to be bold. I was going to do a teaching on the very subject I'm teaching tonight, bold in the Spirit, and I got up to preach, and God said to me, there are people here that are not bold in their finances. If you can't be bold in your stewardship, how will you be bold with the unlimited resource of God's Spirit? If you can't handle the limited resource that you've been entrusted, the seed that God has put into your hand, if you can't be bold with that, how can you handle the power and the glory of God? The true riches. And it made me think of a time when I was going about, you know, you always ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And God told me to write a check that would literally drain everything that I had, give it all away. And how difficult a decision that was at that moment. We all want to hear the voice of God until He tells us to do something outrageous. It's kind of like if it's a blessing coming your way. Yay, God, yes. Give all that you've got. Get behind me, devil. It's strange how the voice of God becomes the voice of the devil. You know that voice, but the moment there's sacrifice involved, it's like, I didn't want to hear that. And a strange thing started to happen as I was preaching. People started to deal with their hearts, with their attitudes around resource, because it made me think of that widow who was down to her last meal. And the Bible said God commanded her to feed the prophet. It wasn't like the prophet commanded her. When the prophet saw her trying to scurry away, the Spirit of God was speaking to her saying, that's the man you to feed. But she was not bold to give what she had. God wasn't going to rip her off. God was going to give her free food, her and her household and the prophet, through the famine. God was going to get a resource to her, but for her to get the resource, she had to take a bold step of generosity. And I've discovered this, that you cannot be generous with the gifts of the Spirit of God. You cannot be generous in prophecy, in the flow of power, unless you can be faithful in finance. Because if you can be trusted with money, you can be trusted with the true riches. Faithful with little of the ordinary, then you can be faithful with the much, the extraordinary. It's just the law of the kingdom. And so, obedient to the word, and it's, sometimes when the word comes to you, both the written word, you know what's right, you must do it. But then the Spirit of God, the word of the Lord comes to you in the heart, the still small voice, or the audible voice, or whichever way, a dream, a vision, whatever way he speaks to you. And then as you obey, that opens a dimension in the Spirit. Obedience will always take you to the next level of breakthrough. Very seldom will you transcend from where you are to where you to go without a step of obedience. There's always a condition. There's always something that God is requiring of us to get us to that next place. Everyone wants to grow, to increase, to expand, but we're not obedient with where we're at, with what he's entrusted us. The moment we step into obedience, the promotion is there. The increase is there. We're talking about being bold. I was thinking of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They dared to make a stand when everyone else was bowing down under the pressures of life, circumstance, and government. But they made a bold stand. And because they made a stand, God made a stand with them in the fire. And the moment they were placed in the fire and the king saw the fourth man, their lives were promoted and prospered. You very seldom will find promotion and prosperity coming if you can't make a stand under the circumstances. That's when your obedience kicks in. That's when you obey the word of God. That's when you obey the Spirit of God. And that's when you face criticism, accusation, rejection. But the moment you go in that thing, Jesus is with you. He reveals himself with you, and he becomes evident with you, and that leads to your promotion and that next level in your life. The same as Daniel. He refused to succumb to the pressure. Thrown into the lion's den, he comes out, his life is promoted. Every time he made a stand, promotion came to his life. Boldness causes you to make a stand. Boldness can be defined as courageous, courageous. Joshua had to be bold and courageous. Why? Because to possess the land, he would need that boldness and courage to go in and lay hold of what God had already given him. Because these, even though God has given it to us, it has to be taken by force. And that takes courage, because you remember the spies came back lacking courage, turning it around, seeing themselves as small, not seeing the greatness of God, and that generation died missing their destiny, missing their inheritance. There are many Christians that are selling out their inheritance because they're afraid to obey God in the face of hostility. Takes boldness to make a stand in hostility. Takes boldness to operate in the dimensions of the Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit, in the callings of God. As I go into boldness, boldness can be with sensitivity. You don't have to operate in a harsh way. It can be with sensitivity. Being bold doesn't mean being arrogant, being dominating. You can be bold and strong in the Lord and remain sensitive, because it's a confidence that comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so you don't have to express it in terms of commanding it. It comes as a result of the authority and the confidence in which you stand. This boldness, I believe, is an impartation from God Himself. It's not just natural, it is a supernatural confidence. Why must we be bold? Number one, because the hour is late. We're living in the last of the last days. We could really say we're living in the last minutes or seconds of the last days. Everything prophetically that must happen before the return of Jesus has happened. You understand? If there's any reason why Jesus has not come, it is simply because of the harvest of souls. Everything has aligned for His return other than the harvest. Bold people will take a hold of the nations, will advance the kingdom and reach the lost at any cost. Bold people. And this will not just be done through our programs. It will be in the power of God, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Not our natural abilities, but by the Spirit of God that these things will be done. So the hour is late, and we must reach this generation, and it's got to be done in the power of the Spirit. To operate in the supernatural, you have to have a God courage. To flow in the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm sure everyone here at one stage or another, God has given you a prophetic word, and how you have struggled to make that voice heard. Every one of us, I'm sure, at one stage. I've been in the ministry over 40 years, and sometimes I still have to, I have to take a hold of myself to go public with what God gives me. You think, oh, you're so bold. No, I'm actually not. I'm a very quiet, introverted person, but in the Spirit, I'm bold. You understand? But I have to actually lay hold of it. It doesn't come easy for me. Everyone, oh, you're so bold. You're like, a couple of days ago, I'm preaching to millions of souls right across Africa and UK. And, you know, and you look at me on TV, I look like I know what I'm doing. The truth is, I'm like in fear and trembling. But I rise out of my personality, out of my comfort level, into the glory, into the ability of God. It's not my comfort zone. So this boldness is not based on your personality type. Oh, he's an extrovert, therefore he's bold. No, introverts can be bold. And that's where the glory of God is revealed, because it's not in your energy, your natural ability. This boldness is not confident people, creative people, extroverted people. This is a spiritual dimension I'm talking about. It's in the Spirit. It's in spite of ourselves. It's like Moses, like Jeremiah, like Gideon. We all face our personal limitations. But God raised Gideon in boldness. God raised Jeremiah in boldness. God raised Moses in boldness. Why? Because it's a spiritual boldness. It is in spite of ourselves. That's what I'm talking about. And to operate in the supernatural, it does require a boldness. It requires faith. It requires boldness. I have never operated released a miracle without being challenged, without having to obey God and step out of my comfort zone. Psalm 105, verses 1-5. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds. What deeds? Supernatural. God is a supernatural God who operates supernaturally in the earth. Make known His supernatural deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of His wondrous works. What works? Supernatural works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works. What works? Supernatural works. Which He has done. His wonders. What wonders? Supernatural. And the judgments of His mouth. God is a supernatural God. The Bible records thousands of supernatural encounters. Take the supernatural encounters that man has with God and God has with man, and you're left with a very thin book, probably two covers, concordance, and maps. Take the supernatural out of the Bible, and there is no Bible, because it is a record of a supernatural God revealing His redemption to the world. The devil that we fight is a spiritual or supernatural being. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. They are supernatural. The gospel is the power of God that we preach. It is a supernatural message because it births the word. It's the seed of God that penetrates the spirit that causes a new birth, which is a supernatural birth. The Pentecost experience of the upper room of our hearts and lives, and we speak with another language, is a supernatural empowerment. It isn't just a historic event. It is an event that takes place not only in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, but takes place in the hearts of every God seeker. These signs shall follow them who believe. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. A supernatural language. They will cast out demons. A supernatural authority. They will lay hands on the sick. A supernatural ability to operate in the dimensions of God's power. We are empowered with a supernatural spirit, with supernatural ministries and giftings that come from God. God answers our prayers supernaturally. It's not just praying. God answers our prayers. It's a supernatural transaction that takes place when we cry out, God answers and pours in and supplies and brings breakthrough. It's supernatural. Everything about the salvation is supernatural. And Peter, standing with the 11, says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He's talking about a supernatural people, not just the 120 that had just been filled in the upper room, because he goes on and says, the promises to you and to your children, not to the ones who are filled, those who are standing, questioning. He says, this promises to you, to your children, to as many as the Lord our God shall call, both near and far. Every single generation is empowered in this supernatural way. The church was never meant to operate in our own energies, in our nice fine buildings and sound systems. We were always a supernatural people, empowered by a supernatural God to operate in supernatural dimensions. The ascension ministry gifts of the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's not just for a sound desk and a computer and for greeters and catchers and ushers and a nice worship team. It's to supernaturally empower God's people in giftings and abilities that are from above. And then all the nice things for a nice ordered meetings. You understand? But we've put such an emphasis on these walls and the order within here that the church is very restricted to the building, to the meetings, to the meeting times, whereas we are the church operating in these dimensions outside of the walls. And these ascension ministry gifts are given to train people to operate in their supernatural giftings and callings with skill, with ability for fruitfulness. But what's happened is we have professional ministries that do all the work. And the ministry is unemployed. And it's late harvest, it's late time. And those that are sitting by are being called into the fields, and they're going to get equal pay with those that have been laboring for years. The hour is late, and every Christian must be employed in the work of God, and equippers are given to train you, to teach you to flow in these dimensions. We to train you to minister the gospel, to minister in the gifts of the Spirit, to train you in supernatural leadership and influence, to train you in supernatural intercession and prayers that will bring change to our region. This is our, and he even goes on and he says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. We've got to train people to flow in their giftings and to prophesy. The church is a prophetic people. And it's like the prophetic gift has been silenced. It's time for an awakening, a fresh awakening in the language of the Spirit, the language of heaven on earth. And we, the equippers, and hence tonight, I'm trying to engage your spirit into the possibilities of operating in the authority and the anointing of God for your ministry, for your life. If it were just for the pastors, I'd be addressing the pastors and say, guys, it's time to take your ministries to a new level of fruitfulness and in the anointing. But this is not just to them. I'm speaking to you. Because you are just as called as us. You have a different function, a different operation, but you are just as called. And the same passion that we in the full-time ministry employ our lives to the pulpit and to the study of the Word of God and to prayer and to ministering to you, you should be with equal zeal employing your life to your sphere. It's not like we must step it up and we must perform. No, we must and you must. It's not just beholden of us, it's beholden of you. And if we get into your face and challenge you concerning that, don't get offended. It's because we're passionate for the advance of the kingdom of God. Because without you, the power of God has been limited. Because the Bible says when every joint supplies and every part does its share, it causes growth, maturity, and the advance of the kingdom. If I had 99% of my church engaged in the work of ministry and 99% of my people were praying and 99% of my people were giving and sacrificing, I would be a dissatisfied pastor. I would want 100%, not 99%. If there was one in disobedience, I would be dissatisfied. I was with a pastor, he said, my church 80% of tithing, such a committed people. I said, brother, 20% is living in rebellion, in disobedience. How can you be satisfied with 80%? If 80% of your body was working and 20% wasn't working, would you be satisfied? Would you be looking for a doctor to get you healed so that you can have all your faculties available? I said, I would never be satisfied if there was a possibility that I could have 100% use of my body. I would not be satisfied with 80% use of my body. Right. Well, you know, in the law of averages, most churches are about 20% committed, 20% praying, 20% tithing. It is a much higher rate. But with 20% absent, could you imagine if 20% of the United States Marine Force was absent without leave? Or imagine 20% of the police force didn't show up on duty on a given day or night. Or 20% of your workforce didn't show up at work. Or 20% of the teachers didn't show up in the schools. Would you as parents be satisfied? No, of course not. Could you imagine going to a hospital and 20% of the doctors didn't show up and it's your day for surgery? Your life is in the balance. Sorry, the doctor didn't show up today. He's playing golf. It's great weather and they're going to be 6 hours. Don't worry, they'll get to you. If you live for another 6 hours, they'll get to you. You wouldn't be happy if it was your husband or wife or child lying on that gurney waiting to go into surgery, and those nurses weren't there, those doctors weren't there, those people that do the oxygen and all the things, everyone, 20% of them were absent. Would you be satisfied? Do you think Jesus is satisfied with an absentee generation? I don't believe so. Everything about me is horrified, because the Bible says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. He's never been satisfied with lukewarm. He's never been satisfied with the loss of first love. He's never been satisfied with the neglect of the sacrifices, the neglect of the house of God. Why in the new covenant, the covenant of grace, would we be satisfied to, this is grace? Does grace allow sloth? Does grace allow for the neglect of the business of God? If anything, the grace of God that saves us based on better covenant and better promises should have a higher level of commitment. It's like people say, well, tithing is law, it's not grace. Well, if that be the case, then grace says 100% belongs to God. So if tithing is law, and that's 10%, then welcome to the 100%. Although I believe it precedes law, goes to Abraham. It's the covenant of faith, not the covenant of law. Faith passes right through the law into the new covenant. But if, then based on the law of the new covenant, 100% belongs to God. Anyway, I get distracted by these things. I have to close. Time has come and gone for the continuation of this message. You'll have to be at Pastor Joshua's church tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, because I'm going to continue. I'm going to share on the secrets of operating in the ministry of Jesus, how Jesus flowed in the power of God. Two great keys that Jesus had that allowed him to walk in the supernatural power of God. And as I have walked and practice these two things, I've seen signs, wonders, and miracles. And these aren't limited to apostles, to prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. This is for the believer. Simple truth that will unlock the dimensions of the release of the supernatural in your life for tomorrow night. Hallelujah. How many of you were stirred in areas of your life, even with this little introduction to tomorrow night's message? There was enough there to lay a hold of in the spirit. There's enough there to stir you in faith for the supernatural power of God. But tomorrow night, I'll just take it a step further and show you how to operate in these dimensions in boldness. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's pray. It's a one disadvantage of having such a big clock. If it was just a little dinky one, it would be easy to miss it. But that thing is like huge. It's waving at me while I'm preaching. Its hand is going. It's been such a privilege to be with you. And you know that I'm not yet beating you up with the sword of the Spirit. I'm here to encourage you, because I know some of the most God-hungry people in this city are here tonight, in this region are here tonight. These men and women of God that joined me up front, they're some of the most God-hungry men and women of God in America that I've met. I've traveled this nation, and the reason I come back here is because of these men and women. They have such a passion for this region, They have such a heart for you and for your lives. And so it's easy for me to be in this region. Sometimes, if it wasn't for your miserable weather, I'd just move down here and come live here. But thank God he called me to Florida. He'll say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. He'll say, but one thing, why did you keep staying there? You could have moved to Florida. You are a beautiful place and a beautiful area. And God has a plan for this region, for you to operate in the Spirit. Now, many of you raised your hands acknowledging your need for boldness in the Spirit. How many of you have at one stage flowed in the power of God, in prophecy, in ministry, but things have been on the decline in your life? Anyone here? I used to flow in these things, but not like I used to. Just keep your hand raised. How many of you want to get back in the anointing and stirred in your giftings and your ministry? You want to get back in that place of a supernatural down.